Session number 28625, reel 23.
Employees, looking after ammunition and clothing and, you know, anything of that nature, repair required, and keeping records of all of that. A logistics job.
And were you happy about this promotion?
Oh, yes. Yes, it was something quite different. Quite the opposite of what I had been doing.
And had you been told that you were going to get this promotion, or was it suddenly just there?
Well, you're given a little bit of notice. Sometimes not much, but yes, I was aware whilst on the guard that I'd be doing that.
Okay, but you didn't have to try any more exams or anything? This was
No, I qualified for that position and the one after.
Okay then. Now, you speak here about the Gordon Barracks, and I believe one time before the war, speaking about the Gordon Barracks, you were there to close it down for refurbishment.
Yes, I'd been there as a colour sergeant. Mm-hmm. It was now open to train soldiers, and it was training the other units in the Highlands. Cameron Barracks and Fort George had closed, and they would come to Aberdeen became the focal point of the Highland training.
Okay. And with it reopening again, was there a lot of changes now in the place compared to when you'd left it?
Yes, there obviously had been an alteration to improve and extend the camp. But not drastic.
Okay. And with the position that you now had as well, did you have like a room for yourself at Gordon Barracks?
Well, I was in a quarter there. My family had moved. So I had a quarter, which was quite comfortable, a three-bedroom.
I forgot about the family. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. So when you got to positions like this as well, was your accommodation, you know, like your family accommodation, was that any better than...?
None whatsoever. Okay. All the same. Same inventory. The only occasion you get a different house, with perhaps one or two extras, would be the next appointment I took up. But generally speaking, a private soldier or an archivist or whatever had exactly the same inventory, same furnishing, and no differentiation in the type of house that they had.
Okay, I thought there might have been slight differences.
No.
Okay. And were your family happy to be coming back to Aberdeen?
Yes. They started off the schooling in Aberdeen, so this is then coming back again to it.
Okay. And was that on the Bridge of Dawn site? Was that on the Gordon mm-hmm. Barracks?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. And was there a school for the children nearby?
Bridge of Dawn, yeah.
Okay. Because the Bridge of Dawn now is quite large.
Oh no, huge. Uh-huh. Well, at that time, where the houses are, we used to get the farmer come in with his cart and his horse selling vegetables. Then he got a tractor, and then, you know, things changed, and then more houses were built, and he obviously ultimately stopped it.
That's what I was wondering about. That period, you must have just been on the period when it was kind of changing.
Absolutely, yeah.
So that's why I was wondering about the schooling and...
Yeah. The original infant school was closed, but I'm not quite sure what you call it, Bolgowney School or something like that.
Okay, so you're now back in the Bridge of Dawn Barracks. How long did you stay there for?
I stayed there until 1968.
Okay, still in the same position?
Yes.
And looking after the administration of the logistics?
Yes. Uh-huh.
And would that have covered such things as transport? And?
Yes, transport was anything to do with spare parts. Come under your... The quartermaster's regime. I was the number two to a quartermaster in the system. So you, I mean, in that system, you do anything to do with feeding him, clothing him, providing for him. That sort of job.
And was it always quite straightforward, or did you ever have problems, you know, getting supplies through or anything?
Yes, I mean, that's healthy. That you would you'd have certain entitlements. You had certain wastage rates. You obviously had to control it. It was a financial approach or an economic approach or necessity. And what sort of importance would you put upon what you're asking for? And you had certain patterns of delivery. And if it was an emergency, then you could get it fairly quickly. If it was a normal one, then you know that would take 3 weeks or something. But yes, nothing was too easy. Each day was a healthy sort of interpretation of what shall I do and how shall I do it.
And did you work like normal office hours, or did you still maybe like work more like a 24-hour system?
In a training establishment like that, you obviously had a 24-hour cycle for guard duties and telephone orderlies and duty clerks and whatever. But we would have had fairly office hours in this sense. But having said that, you would do quite a few extra in a voluntary sort of way, or one of necessity, be there. So, I never found that I had a 40-hour week in the army, ever. You never considered that you had 7, 8, 9 hours to do. You would certainly be in there quite early in the morning, and you'd start and you'd work through sometimes without taking lunches and working later, or going home for a meal and then going back again. All part of the system.
And seeing the position that you're in now as well, and the job that you're doing as well, did you still have to maintain like your fitness and your...
Oh yeah.
And things like training, like rifle training and all that? You still had to continue with...
You had annual tests to do in connection with all your weaponry, your skills, and similarly your fitnesses. In fact, I can proudly say that I did my 9 miles bash down in Chester when I was 55, carrying some 35 pounds weight on my back, never half cross country and half in metal roads. So I never missed 1 year of being tested.
You must have kept yourself quite fit.
Well, I did, I think, quite fit. The only mistake I made in my last one, I had a Labrador dog, I took it with me, and he was more a hindrance than anything else. And I remember we walked in the metal road at a fairly fast rate, but they were individually strung out. And I had my dog on the leash at this time. I passed the workman at the roadside and was very much my own, and obviously looked a bit agitated. And Kyber was the name of my dog. He was black, he was military, didn't have a pedigree, but he was a good doggy. And I heard one of the workmen saying, "God bless the old bee, he's blind." So I just ignored it and kept going, but I successfully did it.
Very good. Okay. Now, so you stayed in Aberdeen and you did this job, and I see in the piece that you gave us here, by December 1968, you were promoted to a regimental sergeant major.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Of the 1st Battalions. Uh-huh. But by then you were in Germany, were you?
Well, I went there to get that promotion.
Okay.
To take over what I joined the army to be.
Right.
It's a senior position that any jock can achieve.
Okay. So when had you actually went out to Germany? Was it?
The first week, actually, of December, I motored with my family all the way down and across to Germany.
And was this you actually going to be stationed out in?
Yes, in Minden.
Okay.
And there I stayed for 2 years.
Okay, and was your wife happy enough about going out there?
Yep, and the children. The children went off to Bowen School, and one to the local school, and then ultimately all to Bowen School.
Okay, and were the battalion there as well at this time?
Yes, yes. So this was me rejoining the regiment, rejoining the battalion.
Oh, so of course it was just the, when you were up at the Gordon Barracks, it was only the young ones that were
yes.
at the training.
Mm-hmm,
sorry, mm-hmm. I always think of the Gordon Barracks as being the Gordon Highlanders. Okay, so they were out there on a tour of duty, were they?
Yes, they'd been there since 1967 they went there.
Okay. Now, how much notice had you received about this promotion?
I certainly had 6 months.
Okay, sorry about that. It was a phone call. So we're back to when 1968, and you're in Minden in Germany.
Yes, that's correct.
We haven't spoken about this area before, because I think it was Celle you were in before.
Celle, mm-hmm.
Now, how did this barracks, or was it a barracks that you were situated in?
Yes, this was a slightly different German barracks, in that it was a single-storey building, whereas all the other German barracks I'd been in were real solid, three-storied and well provided for. We were in perhaps what had been built in wartime, with single stories, but a good camp in its own way, with an officer's mess, a sergeant's mess, a soldier's canteen, and we had a cinema, a big cookhouse and dining room, garages for the MTs, quartermaster and so on. Proper camp.
Okay, and did you have family quarters there as well?
Yes, I lived downtown, and a group of four houses on their own in a street next to the civilians. We'd never experienced this before, but I had a cinema manager and a bandmaster and another RSM from a different unit at this block of four. It was a very nice house, a good old-fashioned one with a cellar, central heating and double glazing and such, and a garden. Yes, so very comfortable there.
And was it an upstairs, downstairs house?
Yes.
It was just when you said the four, I wondered if there were in a block of four.
No.
And how did the German people take to you at that point?
The German people have had troops occupying the country for many, many years. That they were, I would think, most of the time, oblivious of you, unless you annoyed them. Then look out. So the street we lived in was a fairly affluent-looking one. And you would acknowledge them by bidding them good day, but that's about it.
So you didn't have too much to do with them?
No interaction. Okay. They weren't interested.
And how about your wife for shopping? You know, was it easier?
She walked, yes. We could drive to go to the Nafe and places like that, but she could walk into the German shops comfortably.
And is it a city or a town or...?
A very large town.
Okay. And was it still one child you had at home?
Three.
Oh, you still
had... Oh, sorry. Two at boarding school initially, and one at home, and then the third one joined boarding school as well, which was at Wilhelmshaven in the north.
Oh, it was still in Germany?
Yes.
Oh. And was it an army boarding school or something?
Yes.
Okay. And the third one, who wasn't away at this time...
She went to a local, a military school in Minden for that age group.
And were there a lot of troops in Minden at that time?
Yes, you had certainly altogether three infantry regiments, and you had engineers and gunners. And yes, with a large, you had a brigade headquarters, 11th Infantry Brigade. Yes, a lot of troops.
And what was the purpose of you being there at that point?
Well, in case the Russians decided to move west, we were part of a force that would hopefully repel them.
And is Minden far from the borders, or...?
And I couldn't give you the mileage, but not too far.
So you were quite near the border area?
Yes.
And do you think it was a real threat at the time? Did you ever feel threatened?
Well, we sat in a train for that, and rehearsal of call-outs, in case of emergency, rehearsals for that sort of thing. And when you'd all move to select spots, take up your position, and you could imagine the volume of troops and the movement and so on. Quite complicated, but necessary to test the facility.
And did exercises like that, were they quite often, you know, is this something you often practiced?
Not often, no. We were in armoured vehicles, which you're currently seeing in Iraq, etc., called 4C2s. They were tracked vehicles, and we were used to investigate the possibility of then swimming in the rivers. They had flotation screens that they put along the top, and off you'd go. So we were involved quite a bit in that experiment, successfully so, but they don't use it now, I'm not sure why, when it was okay then.
Okay, and obviously you had some of the exercises with other British regiments
yes.
at the time.
Yes.
Did you ever have any exercises where maybe the other NATO forces would have been...
Well, you're always part of that, that the small battalion unit was part of a four regimental units, two of types and of two infantry. So you that was a brigade unit, and then from the brigade you went into divisions, and three times that, and so it went on. And they would start the season with your own individual exercises, and then you'd be incorporated into one higher and so on, until you had a really majestic, huge frontage and in-depth exercise.
And did you enjoy exercises like this?
Yes, it's all part of learning to be a soldier and aware of why you were there, what you were doing.
And before any exercise as well, one, were you aware that there was an exercise coming up, or mm-hmm. did they kind of test you so that it was last minute type of thing?
Only in emergencies, for this standby, as it were, would that occur. And that would be done at night or day, or you were never sure when you were tested. There was no regular pattern. But exercises were all included in a training program that you would all see and be aware of, and where it was, and duration, and involvement.
Okay, so sometimes, was that these standby exercises as well then?
In a standby exercise, you would move to select areas according with the instructions. There was a standard procedure that you had to adopt. Mm.
And how did they brief you before the time as well? Was it like as though it had been a real emergency, you know, like the same idea?
If you were called out on an emergency call out, you had a standard operational procedure to adopt, like a big building evacuated for fire and such like things. So you would have your trucks would line up, you would people go into the ammunition bunk, and it's fairly obvious that you wouldn't load all your ammunition on, but that would take days to do. But you would represent, you'd have sort of notional things going on, but you'd be going through your list to tick off, and somebody would check all of these things to make sure that you are adhering to the plan.
And was it when you had these procedures as well for times like that, were the men so well trained in it that it became second nature, or did they have to refer to plans?
They would refer to the plans. You would always have a change round of staff. You'd never have the same individual, but you'd have a nucleus of those who knew, who had done it before, who would guide the others. But you would still stick to speed and efficiency and thoroughness was the answer, because you have to pull people in from all over.
Okay. And so after the exercise as well, you know, and how long did it last for as well? What would have been the average?
Well, the emergency one would last a day, perhaps two, but your other exercises could last for many, many days. You'd build up gradually and you'd end up perhaps in 3 weeks to a month.
Okay. And with those ones as well, once you'd had the exercise, did you then look at what happened, you know, during that period of time?
Yes, there was always a sort of post-operational investigation analysis. There was always a wash-up, whatever, so that you'd learn from the lessons.
And did you think that it was useful to have these? Did you learn them?
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. Yes.
Mm-hmm. And so when men were out in the exercise as well, and did you still go out at this point?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, everybody got a particular function.
Okay. What about supplies coming through to you, you know, like food and water and that?
That was all part of the plan, that the quartermasters with the motor transport officer and the chefs, that you'd either go out with composite rations or you'd be fed from source and fresh hot container meal. It would depend on the circumstances. Each event was catered for.
And was it catered for as though it had been a proper emergency, shall we say?
Oh yes. Nobody knew beforehand. You'd get notification from above. You get a phone call saying this is a staff officer, and he would issue a warrant, and that was taken, and off you'd go. And then they would follow up and check, and check, and check.
So it was just like a real one?
Yep.
Okay, and it was to get the problem sorted out?
Yeah.
Okay. And were you still, like I know that before that you were in charge of logistics and things, were you still in charge of this, or because of your promotion?
No, my promotion allowed me to go back to, my main job was training people, training cadres, the drill of the battalion, the discipline at the time, the dress, the duties, etc., the training, and my job was with the battalion headquarters and near the ops centre. And my job was to always go ahead of them and select the spot that they should occupy.
So you didn't have to worry about the food or supplies?
No. I would just hope, having got there, that somebody would feed me.
And so out in the field, you know, once you were out in the field doing this, did the men generally react how you wanted them to react, you know, for their various functions, as though it had been a real battle?
Yes, but everybody got specific jobs to do. And if you think of the old group of the colonel, and the battalion headquarters, where you've got the Royal Artillery element, which is attached to you, and the Royal Engineers, and you always worked in tandem. You had an A group who would be static, and the B group would move on, and then vice versa. So that you would, whilst you were on the move, you'd always have a static unit controlling things. And you had to maintain the camouflage, you had to maintain the security, it was always guards on. There was always something to be done.
Okay. So it did sharpen up your...
Oh yeah.
It made you
think.
Okay. And whilst you, okay, these were just exercises, I don't mean just exercises, but these were exercises for the real thing. But during this period in Germany, did you ever meet anyone from the Russian army, or was it totally just taboo, you know?
We didn't meet. You never crossed your border. Nor would you, I mean, there were certain regiments who had tasks of observation along the border, the big observation positions, and obviously they would report on what they had seen beyond the border, and we were never as near the border as that. We were all in a training area, well divided from it as such.
Okay, I was just about to ask you where you ever were. Did you ever go up to the border just for a look or anything?
I once went with my family up to Bad Harsberg at the mountains where you could look along from a distance and see the observation tower, but the roads were closed. You couldn't drive through. There was a perimeter fence, as it were, the whole way up. But that's as much as I saw, actually.
And was that a fence the whole way?
Well, I didn't see the whole way, but certainly there was a demarcation line and certain areas where you could pass through if you had permission to do so.
Mm-hmm. So, I just wondered. Okay then. And how many men were you responsible for at this time as well?
Well, indirectly I had 680. I was the prime senior coordinator between the other ranks and the officers. Every man junior to me was my responsibility, and I had to take that responsibility and belief to the officers who were commanding. And I was considered to be the man in charge of all of these things, the reference man, quite a positive position to hold, actually. And if you're doing your job, you thoroughly enjoyed it. I thought it was one of the best jobs that I ever did have, in that you were so responsible that if you saw something not working, you had the power to have it sorted and maintain a standard. And that standard had to be high enough to be acceptable. Or you weren't doing your job.
So you did enjoy it, did you?
I did, yes, mm-hmm. I did.
And how long were you in Germany for on this tour of duty?
Two years.
Mm-hmm. And within this job as well, were you more like a normal office hours? I know you said before that you
same, just the same. You would... You had out of hour things to do, but you had to be aware that when the men relaxed at night, that things were going on properly, duties were performing, and so on.
And at this level as well, did you ever inspect the men? Were you was there ever any level of inspection that you would do now?
Yes, I would have a parade of the whole battalion as often as I wished. So on a normal sort of series, you would have the RSM's parade, and then Monday thing, Wednesday with the adjutant. This is what we used to have many, many years ago. Then on the Saturday morning with the colonel's parade. But at each and every one of these, what a card was your responsibility? That the band would be there, that the companies would be on parade with all their men, they would have been inspected. I used to take all my NCOs to the front of the men and inspect them personally, so that the men would then see that all the NCOs were subjected to the same rigour as what they were.
Would it be fair to say that generally that the NCOs would have been a high standard anyway, you know, that you wouldn't have had to maybe chase them for their uniform being slightly wrong or anything?
It would be fair to say on average yes, but also fair to say there are occasions when you identify an area for improvement, and by maintaining that standard, then you're encouraging them to make sure that they're not found out.
And did you enjoy when you had a parade, you know, an inspection and a parade? Did you quite like that?
Yes. I would always try and make the drill side of life interesting. I would always like to introduce something new, something that made them think. And a thinking man is a contented man and a more of a, sort of the team, as it were. So I would